Good morning. So today I would like to talk about a concept that we've spoken a lot about in the past. We've spoken about the concept of koach hazman, which means that in every time period of the year, there's a specific power, a specific koach that's embedded in that time period. In fact, we say the word mazal comes from the word nozel, which means to drip. The zodiac sign is the word mazal, because Hashem sends down, He drips down this power into each and every month. Every month has its own unique power, its own unique koach, its own unique spiritual essence. And therefore, when we're able to figure out what the koach of the month is, we're able to access it. So I think it's with this in mind that we can reframe the way we think. Normally we think, you know, in Nisan we had Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore Nisan is a time of Geula. But really, it's based on this that we think about it a little differently. It's because Nisan has this spiritual essence, this koach of Geula. Therefore, it allowed for Geulas Mitzrayim to occur, and therefore it will allow for future redemptions. We say Benisan Nigalu Avoseinu. In Nisan, our ancestors were redeemed. Ubenisan Asidin Lehigael. And in Nisan, in the future, we will also be redeemed, because Nisan has this unique koach, this power of redemption. And similarly, we know that, you know, what's a lucky month for the Jews? We say Adar. If you want to be matzliach in a court case, you should go in Adar. And we know that so many tragedies have befallen our people during Av. Av is a time of misfortune and a time of tragedy. So every month is assigned a mazal, a zodiac sign, a letter, a shevet, etc. And all of these things help us to understand what the koach, what the special power and the special spiritual essence of the month is. And therefore, when we think about it this way, we go through life and we don't view life as a circle, but rather life is a spiral. Meaning, if I go through Nisan, Iyar, Siva, and Tammuz, etc., and I tap into that spiritual essence, the spiritual koach, the koach hazman, it propels me forward. So therefore, at this year, I'm Nisan, Iyar, Siva, and Tammuz, but next year, I'm one rung higher and higher, because as I go through the year and I actualize the kohos, the unique powers that are embedded in the month, I'm able to push myself forward so that next year when I come to the same point in time, I'm on a higher rung on the ladder. Okay, so based on this, I'd like to try to understand the time period that we find ourselves in. The Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amar Aleph, tells us, "Blessed is Hashem who gave us a threefold Torah, Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim, to a nation of three, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, so, through the hands of the third." Who's the third? Moshe was the third child. We have Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. And I think we can add to this Gemara by saying Hashem gave the Torah in the third month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, after three days of preparation, we have the Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah. But on top of that, what I would like to focus on is He gave us the Torah after a process of 3 months. Nisan to Iyar to Sivan. In fact, the Ramban in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Emor, tells us that Pesach and Shavuos is really one long holiday, with Sfiras HaOmer being the Chol HaMoed between the two. It's all really connected. And through understanding the process from Pesach till Shavuos, we can understand our approach to Kabbalah HaTorah in general and to the mitzvos, and things we take upon ourselves specifically as individuals. Now, the Sefer Yetzirah, which is attributed to Avram Avinu, writes, "B'nisan himlich os hei b'ri'iyah." Nisan is assigned the letter hey with the power of sight. "B'iyar himlich vav b'shmiyah." Iyar is given the letter vav with the koach, with the power of listening. "Sivan u'b'sivan himlich os zayin b'halicha." And Sivan is given the letter zayin with the koach, with the power to walk. So this statement, I hope, will be our goal to understand at the conclusion of this year. But I think in order to really understand the process of these 3 months, we have to start with Iyar, with the middle. Because when we understand the transition, when we understand the middle, we can therefore understand the process. Now, all the days of the month of Iyar are days of Sfiras HaOmer, days which connect Nisan and Sivan, days which connect the start of Geula of Yetzias Mitzrayim with Matan Torah. So I'd like to ask, what is the connection? How does Iyar connect Nisan and Sivan? And how does Svira connect Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah? Also, when we look at the mitzvah of counting Svira, the days between Pesach and Shavuos, and we compare it with other times we count, like a woman who counts the Zayin Nikim, her 7 clean days before she immerses in the mikvah, we wonder, why here by Svira Sa'omer do we make a bracha? But by these other mitzvot that we have, like Zayin Nikim, the 7 clean days, we don't make a bracha when we count each day. And also, if we're going to make a bracha, then why don't we recite the Shehecheyanu like we do by other mitzvahs when we do it for the first time? And also, another interesting point is, why specifically by this mitzvah do people say L'Shem Yichud, for the sake of unification? Even if they're not really so careful or makbid to say it by other mitzvahs. We know we have this focusing, this L'Shem Yichud that you could say before a lot of mitzvahs. Some people say it before matzah, before the 4 kosos, before we take lulav and etrog. And it's found that even if people are not so makbid to do it by all these other mitzvahs, for some reason when it comes to the mitzvah of Svira Sa'omer, people are more noahic to say it. So to understand how the yesod of how Iyar is the connection between Nisan and Sivan, we have to understand the essence of what Svira is, because really all the days of the month of Iyar are found in Svira Sa'omer. In other situations where we're instructed to count, like with the Zayin Nikiyim, the counting itself is not a mitzvah, it's just a cheshbon, it's a calculation, it's in order to keep track. But Sfiras HaOmer, however, is itself a mitzvah. The Torah put an obligation upon each and every one of us to count the days of Sfira, and thus we make a bracha. So whereas by other situations, we're counting because only for the end goal, I need to make sure that 7 days have passed in order to immerse in the mikvah, so therefore I have to count 7 days. But whereas by Sfiras HaOmer, each and every day is a mitzvah. So, but in addition, it's a preparation for Shavuos. So with Sfira comes this interesting concept that the preparation for the mitzvah has its own essence. It's its own mitzvah. The preparation in order to sanctify and purify oneself to receive the Torah. So it's very interesting. Sfira Sa'omer on one hand is a preparation for Shavuos. But when it comes to other mitzvahs that are preparations, like Zayin Nikim, like the 7 clean days, we don't make a bracha. But here by Sfira Sa'omer, the preparation itself is a mitzvah. We have a commandment to count, and not only to count, but we're required to make a bracha. So if that's the case, then why don't we make a Shehecheyanu like by other mitzvahs? The Radvaz tells us that Sfiras HaOmer is just really a preparation for Shavuos. It's really dependent, it's leaning on Shavuos, it's leaning on that, on Matan Torah, and so therefore, we don't say a Shehecheyanu, just like we don't say a bracha on building the sukkah, because what? The real mitzvah is eating in the sukkah, dwelling in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah, spending time in the sukkah. And so therefore, the beginning, the preparation, is really just based on or connected to the actual being in the sukkah. And so therefore, we don't say a bracha on the building of the sukkah. We don't say a shehecheyanu on a mitzvah that's just a hachana, a preparation. We say we say the Shehecheyanu on the Iker Mitzvah, which in this case would be the holiday of Shavuos. So this is a very basic understanding, which I hope at the conclusion of this year we're going to come to a much deeper understanding. So this is a very big Chiddush, because on the one hand, Sfira is a mitzvah on its own, and so therefore we make a bracha. But since, nevertheless, it's a hachana, it's really just a preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah, for Shavuos, and it's not the Iker Mitzvah, we therefore don't say Shehecheyanu. So we have this concept that Sfira is a hachana, it's a preparation for mitzvahs. And the Sfasemis in Parshas Hazinu tells us that there's more koach and success in the preparation of a mitzvah than in the actual mitzvah. He writes the preparation, the performance of a mitzvah is only lasha, it's temporary, and the preparation is forever. Because when we think about it like this, you know, when we come to a mitzvah, it's kind of hard to know if you got every detail right. You know, I want to do the mitzvah, but who knows if I got every detail right, if I really performed it accurately. Maybe I didn't have the proper kavana, the proper mindset. Maybe I didn't do it besimcha, with joy, with the proper attitude. And so therefore, there's a lot of variables and things that can possibly go wrong. But when you prepare yourself, what are you doing? You're saying, I want to do this mitzvah properly. I want to, quote unquote, get into the zone. I want to achieve that which needs to be achieved through doing this mitzvah according to Hashem's will, with simcha, etc. And therefore, it's important. So therefore, this Fas Emes writes that there's more koach and success in the preparation of a mitzvah than in the mitzvah itself. And it's really based on this. The Chidush HaYarim tells us that we can understand the simchas beis hasho'eva. We're told that Misha lo ra'a simchas beis hasho'eva, lo ra'a simcha meyimav. Whoever in their life did not see a simchas beis hasho'eva, did not experience a true celebration, did not experience joy in their days. Now, what was the simchas beis hasho'eva? The simchas beis hasho'eva was in the Beis HaMikdash. They would draw the water. And what would they do with this water? They would, eventually, it was for the Nisuch HaMayim, it was for the Korban. It was, so really, what was it? It was the preparation. It was all the getting ready for the Nisuch HaMayim. But we're told that it was such an unbelievable event. There was so much joy that if you never saw such an event, you never experienced that in your life. Because what was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? It was the hachana for the mitzvah. It was the preparation for the Nisuch HaMayim. And therefore, there's this extreme level of joy and celebration when it came to this mitzvah. And it's exactly for this reason that some are makbid, are extra careful to say l'shem yichud before sfira, even if they don't usually. Because what is l'shem yichud for the sake of sanctification? It means, before I'm going to do this mitzvah of sfira sa'omer, I'm going to take a second, or a minute, or a little bit of time, and I'm going to quote-unquote get into the zone. I'm going to think about it. What am I about to do? What do I want to accomplish with this mitzvah? And so therefore, what better place to put this preparation than by a mitzvah whose whole essence is preparation? Sfira's essence is a hachana, it's a preparation to receive the Torah. And so therefore, specifically by this mitzvah, we're mahadir, we make it even that much more beautiful with this l'shem yichud, so that the hachana can be absolutely and totally complete. And it's based on this that we can understand the essence of Ir and of Sfira. The essence is that which she connects. The essence of Ir is her connecting ability. The connection between Nisan and Sivan. The connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And it's with this in mind that we're going to come back to it, that we're going to try to explain the statement that we started our shiur with. The Nisan Himlich Os Hei Bereiah. Nisan is assigned the letter Hei with the power of sight. Ube'iyar Himlich Vav Bishmia. And Iyar is assigned the letter Vav with the power to hear. The Pre-Tzadik explains that in Nisan, the revelation to Bnei Yisrael was Mechazdei Hashem, a pure chesed, but it was for a specific time, and then it disappeared. In Sivan, we have Bnei Yisrael merited a kinyan, to actually acquire it and make it their own, and make it their own. Iyar is created with the letter Vav. What is a Vav? The Vav is the Vav Hachibor, the Vav that connects. If I want to say Rachel and Leah, I say Rachel v'Leah. The Vav is the letter that connects two different things. And the Pasuk in Shemos tells us the Vavei Ha'amudim were the hooks that connected the pillars in the Mishkan. So the Vav is the hook, it's the connection. And that's what Iyar does. It connects Nisan and Sivan. Iyar allows Bnei Yisrael to acquire in Sivan that which we saw in Nisan. And that is the process of these months. The process which ultimately culminates in Kabbalah Satorah. Because what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim? Bnei Yisrael reached this high level of Nevuah, of revelation, of Re'iyah. The Mechilta tells us, Ra'asa Shivcha Aliyah, Mashalo Ra'ah, Yechaskel Ben Buzi Ben Uvosav. A simple maidservant at Kriyas Yamsuf was able to attain a higher level of Nevuah, of prophecy, of divine revelation than Yechaskel Ben Buzi was in all of his prophecies. But Bnei Yisrael didn't. We didn't merit this. This level wasn't established. We didn't deserve it. We were on the Mentes level of Shaarei Tumah. We are on the 49th level of Tumah, of impurity. It was a freebie. It was a spark. It was to show Bnei Yisrael, look how high you can come. Look what you can achieve. Look what your potential is. So that now Bnei Yisrael could go ahead and work to achieve it on their own. And that's why Nisan is Re'iyah and Iyar is Shmiyah. With re'iyah, with seeing, I'm an observer. I don't have to do anything. It can be completely passive. But when it comes to listening, there is a certain level of Kabbalah Saliv, of accepting it in the heart. Like the Gemara in Erevin tells us, Lo Shmi'ali, Kolomar Lo Sfirale. I didn't hear it, which means I don't hold by it. I don't agree with it. Because with listening, there comes a certain acceptance, a certain level that we need to act and do. Whereas with seeing, I can be totally passive. So Sfira is the chibor, the connection, the pathway between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Like we said, according to the Ramban, that Sfira is really the Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. It's really all one long yontif. When speaking about Sfira, the Pasuk tells us, Usfartam lachem imachar es haShabbos. You should count from Shabbos, right? We know, when do we start counting Sfira? From the second night of Pesach. Whether that doesn't matter what night of the week it is, that's when we start counting. We don't specifically start counting on Shabbos, but rather we count on the second night of Pesach, and Pesach is referred to as Shabbos. So why does the Torah refer to Pesach as Shabbos? Now the Sfarim tell us that Shabbos is this concept of Itarusa Dila'ela, which means an awakening, an outpouring from above. We know that Shabbos comes every week no matter what, right? We say Shabbos waits for no one. It doesn't matter if the challah's ready or the table is set. Shabbos is going to come no matter what. It doesn't, B'nai Yisrael do not create the Kedusha of Shabbos. It's totally invested from above. Every 7 days, we have Shabbos. And this is exactly what happened at Pesach. Hashem sent down a Kedusha, a divine revelation. We didn't do anything to create it. We did nothing to deserve it. In fact, we are on the Mem Test level of Shaarei Tumah. We are on the bottom of the bottom. And thus, Pesach, just like Shabbos, is an itarusa dila'ela. It's an awakening. It's an outpouring dila'ela from above. But such a state cannot last. It had to be earned. It was a flash for us of what we could achieve and how high we could go. But then it was gone. Then we come to Sfiras HaOmer, to the month of Iyar, and we have to make it real. We need to establish it. We need an itarusa dilatata, an awakening from below. We need man's work, man to put in the effort to make it last. And that is why the Pasuk says, Usfartem lachem, count for yourselves, which Rashi tells us, litovaschem, for your own good. You should count Sfira because it's good for you. Because why? When we go through Sfira, we can keep and we can hold on to the heights that we achieved at Yetzias Mitzrayim. We take the time during Sfira to work on ourselves and establish the Kedusha that we experienced at Yetzias Mitzrayim. We take the inspiration and we put it into action. It's a mashal of a parent who's trying to teach the child to walk or perhaps to ride a bicycle. So what does the parent do? Props up the child and shows them how to get into the motion, that they can actually do it, that they can pedal and they can go forward. But the parent can't hold on forever. At some point, what does the parent do? Takes a step back to show the child and to allow the child to do it on their own so that they can ride down the block, so that they can walk without being propped up and being held. And this is exactly what happened Pesach night, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up his children to show us that we can walk, that we can ride the bicycle. He showed us, look what you could do, B'nai Yisrael. Look how high you can go. Look what you could accomplish. But then Hashem had to take a step back and allow us to do it on our own, to learn to balance our weight, to figure it out, to how to stand up without falling. And that is the month of Iyar. That is the time that we are able to work to accomplish that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us we can during Nisan, what we had at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's based on this, I want to go back to our original question, we can understand why we don't say Shehecheyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. We said according to the Radvaz, we don't say it. Why? Because really, the mitzvah is really Kabbalah Satorah, and Sfira is just leaning on that, so therefore it doesn't get a Shechiyonu of its own. But says the B'nai Yisachar, why don't we say a Shechiyonu? Because we say a Shechiyonu on something that's new. I get a beautiful new outfit. I experience a Yontif that I had in a whole year. I say Shechiyonu. But this is not new, ladies. We were there not such a long time before. We experienced these levels at Yetzias Mitzrayim, during Pesach, during Chodesh Nisan, and therefore it's not Shayach, it doesn't fit to Shechiyanu by this mitzvah, because we're not experiencing something new. We're simply working back to where we were not such a long time before. We said, why is there a bracha? Because it's, on the one hand, it's connected, but it does have its own unique essence. The Hachana has its own essence, and that's where we brought in the Chidush Te'arim and the Sfas Emes. So Iyar is this month of transformation. That is why the Mazel, the zodiac sign, in the month of Iyar is the shore, is the ox. The ox represents the Nefesh HaBahamis, our animal soul, our desire, which we work on during this time. And then Iyar is followed by Sivan, the month of Matan Torah, whose zodiac sign is twins, is humans, because that's the transformation that we go through at this time. We work on ourselves to work on our animal instincts to transform into the ta'omim, into the twins, into the humans. In fact, we see this transformation in the different karbanos as well. During Nisan, on the 16th of Nisan, we bring the korban ha'omer, which is made out of barley, which is animal food. Barley is animal food. During Sivan, the carbon that we bring is the shtei halechem, which is made out of wheat, which is human food, because that's the transformation that we go through at this time. We go from Nisan, from this low level, from the nefesh habahamis, we go from the korban haomer, and we transform ourselves into the shtei halechem, into the tehomim, into this new level of a human being. Now, it's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham bring down from the Rishonim that there's no Shomea Ka'oneh when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. We find by other mitzvot that when one has an obligation to say something, whether it's Kiddush or reading the Megillah and the like, you can latch on to another person by listening, understanding, and then it's therefore Ka'oneh, like I said it myself, right? We think about our Friday night table in our houses. Not every single person at the table says Kiddush, right? Even though every person has an obligation. Rather, usually there's one or more than one person, but not usually everyone at the table, says Kiddush. He has in mind to be moti everyone else. We listen, we have intent, and therefore it's as if we ourselves said Kiddush, even though not every single person recites it. We have the same thing with Megillah, and there are a lot of other mitzvos that this connects to. But it's interesting, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, Shomei Ka'ona doesn't apply. Why? Why can't you say the bracha and count for me if I listen? Why does every single person have to do it for themselves? The Avni Nezer says that Sfiras HaOmer is a preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, for receiving the Torah. And the work that a person must do in order to accept the Torah, and the way they accept the Torah, is very personal and individual. Therefore, since each person is different, when it comes to this mitzvah, one person cannot be motzi another, meaning, yes, the ultimate goal is Kabbalah Satorah, but we each have our own derech in Avodas Hashem, our own way that we need to work on our own personal midos, our own way that we need to connect to God and to get to that point. And so therefore, you can't be motzi me, and I can't be motzi you, because our pathway to get there is so individual, and it's so specific to who we are as people, and to our unique kohos, and to what we have going on in our lives. And therefore, we each have to go on that journey on our own, and together, we can come to the goal set for us as a nation, we can come accept the Torah. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim, a pasuk that I've quoted before, says, Mashcheni acharecha narutza. Which, if you look at the pasuk, is very strange. It doesn't fit. It's not. It doesn't. We would say in English, there's no agreement, right? The first half of the pasuk is mashcheini, draw me close, which is lashon yachid, right? And then the second half, narutza, is plural. It doesn't seem to fit. But it's based on what we're saying that it's exactly the same idea. Mashcheini acharecha narutza. Draw me after you and then we will run. Because when we talk about going, coming close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, every person has their own mashcheini. Every person has their own thing that draws them close, that turns them on, that allows them to find their path. Some people, for some people, it's davening. A lot of davening, saying Tehillim. For some people, it's going to a shir. For some people, it's that extra chesed, or the tzedakah, or a sunset, or a beautiful niggin, or a kumzitz. Each and every person has to find their mashcheini, their own derech, what turns them on, what inspires them, what gets them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, narutza. Then, as a nation, we can all run after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can all accept the Torah, once we each find our own individual path. The Gra tells us that, in the Torah, it says, 50 times Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's 50 times in the Torah is mentioned the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says it's keneged the 50 days of Sfira. Because with each and every day of Sfira, we leave a part of our personal Mitzrayim behind. Mitzrayim literally means a place of narrowness. Mitzar is a boundary. And within ourselves is a spiritual Mitzrayim. Our own narrow boundaries which restrict and inhibit the godliness within ourselves. And that's the process that we embark on during Sfiras HaOmer. Every day we leave a part of our personal Mitzrayim behind. Our part of our personal boundaries and inhibitions which limit our godliness and our spiritual potential. Because we know man has this ultimate potential. Man, Adam, comes from two different words. Either it can be Adam is Milashon Adama. Man is created from the dust, from the dirt on this earth. But Adam also comes from Adam Mele Elokim. I can make myself like, similar to God. And therefore, we have to break through the boundaries, the restrictions of the earthliness, the Adama, and allow and unleash the godliness within ourselves so that we can become an Adam who is Adam Mele Elokim. And this is the process of this time period. We start with Nisan, with Pesach, with this ultimate revelation. But it's a spark. It's a gift. It gets us going, but then it fades. And we have to work and attach it to action to make it last. And so we come to Iyar, and we have the time period of Sfiras HaOmer to attach it to action, to climb up to the level we had on Pesach so that we can receive the Torah. But it's not just accepting the Torah. That's not the end process. We need to take it one step further. And with this, we come to the end of the statement we began our shiur with from the Sefer Yetzirah. B'sivan himlich Hashem os Zayin b'halicha. Sivan is a sign, the letter Zayin, with the power to walk. Additionally, an interesting thing is that we said that every month is assigned a certain shevet. And the shevet that is assigned to Sivan is Zivulan. Now, if I were to ask you, ladies, the month of Matan Torah, what shevet do you think we should assign to Sivan? Probably most of you, if you would think about it, would say Levi it could be, or Yisachar. Because Yisachar was carrying the old Torah. Yisachar were the men who were learning in Kolel. Yisachar were the people who were learning all day. I would think that out of all the Shvatim, I would pick Yisachar. This is the month of Matan Torah. Let's put it with the nation, with the tribe that's all day involved in learning Torah. And yet, who's assigned the month of Sivan? Zivulan, the merchants, the ones who are traveling the seas, who are sailing the world to do business. So why is it that Sivan is connected to Zivulan? The Gemara in Nedarim tells us that Bnei Yisrael were exiled from Eretz Yisrael because Shelo Halchuba. Which the Gemara explains, what does it mean, Shelo Halchuba? That's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu. It says, Shelo Barchu Batorah Tchila, that they did not make a bracha on the Torah before they learned. So we're seeing that they were learning, but it's almost hard to understand. They were exiled from Eretz Yisrael because they didn't make Birkas HaTorah. I mean, does Birkas HaTorah, is it such a big effort, so much toil? How long does it take with a lot of kavana? A minute? You know, what does it mean? So they said, or they said the whole davening, but they said, oh, we can't say Birkas HaTorah. What does that mean? It seems that, you know, it would require no extra effort, especially if they're davening anyway, they're saying Birkas HaShachar. So the Saba Mikhelm explains, based on the Tosfos, in the Gemara and Brachos, in the Rush there, says it's very interesting. When we go into a sukkah, right, and I wake up and I want to eat breakfast and I go into my sukkah, or I slept in the sukkah, whatever, I'm going to the sukkah to do a mitzvah, to eat, to sleep, etc. I say a bracha, right? And what happens after I eat breakfast in the sukkah? I go on my Chol HaMoed trip with my family, and I'm out the whole day, and I want to come back, and I want to eat dinner again in the sukkah. So what do? I say a new bracha, right? Because I said it in the morning, but then I had a whole day in between. I came back to the sukkah. I have to say a new bracha, because we say there's a concept of hesech hadas, which means a break in concentration. When it comes to Birkas HaTorah, the blessing that we say before we learn Torah, I can get up in the morning and say Birkas HaTorah. Maybe I'll learn in the morning and go to a shir. Then I have to go out during the day. I have work. I have a job. I'm involved in who knows what my job is. Whatever it is, anything under the sun, probably not listening to, you know, not having time to sit, listen to a shir, you know, read a gemara, a chumash, etc. Then I come back and I want to go back to learning at the end of the day. Am I required to say another bracha? No. But there's the same break. So why don't I have to say another bracha, just like I said a bracha when I left the sukkah and came back? The answer is that even though I'm not actually learning Chumash, Rashi, Gemara, Ashir, etc., if my day is based on Torah, meaning when I do my business, I deal honestly, if I, you know, mechanech my children properly, if I act kindly to my friend or my neighbor, or I'm on a bus and I get up for an elderly person, my whole day is considered Torah. There's no break in concentration. There's no hesech hadas. And so therefore, even though I haven't opened a sefer since early in the morning, when I come back at night to learn, I don't need to say a new bracha, because there's no hesech hadas. And this is the kavana of the statement, lo holchuba. Because it seems that if there was a hesech hadas, if there was a break in concentration, I would be required to say another bracha. So the problem wasn't as much as they didn't say the Birkas HaTorah, but rather there was a hesech hadas. There was a break in concentration. Their Torah was not carried throughout their day. They were Torah in the morning in the shul, I daven, go about my business life, I'm two separate people. What goes on there doesn't affect that. One doesn't affect the other. And so therefore, if I come back to learn at night, I need to say a new bracha because I had a break in concentration. That was the problem, that they went into the Olam HaMaisa, they didn't carry the Torah with them. It didn't affect what they were doing. And so therefore, they would have been required to say a new bracha. And that's what it means, Shelo Barchu BaTorah Tzchila. The real problem was not the lack of the bracha, but rather the break in following the Torah and carrying it into their everyday lives. And it's based on this, Rav Tzaddik explains the concept of Arba Amos Shel Halacha. We have this concept of the four Amos of Halacha. The four Amos of Halacha doesn't refer to the place of Limud HaTorah, meaning the Beis Medrash or the Shul, etc., but rather any place that a man acts in accordance with Halacha, that place is sanctified with the Kedusha of Arba Amos Shel Halacha. So if man at the time of business remembers the dinim of Choshen Mishpat and is careful not to lie and cheat and behaves in accordance with Ratzon HaTorah, his business is included in the Arba Amos Shel Halacha. And with this, we see how the Birkas HaTorah continue and include the whole day. And the opposite is true. If we don't act correctly, it's considered a hesach hadas, a break in concentration. The concept of halicha refers to what a person does outside his learning. The hiluch tav hagashmiim, his physical life, his eating, his drinking, his sleeping, etc. And with this, we can understand the pasuk in Vayikra, imbechu kol saitei lechu. If you go in my ways, Rashi there explains, shetiyu amelim batorah, that all your toil should be in Torah. All the toil in man should be Torah, with Darchei Torah. And that's the kavana of imbechu kosei teilechu, that our halicha, our walking should be in Torah. Meaning the things that we do outside of the Beis Medrash, outside of the shul. Shavuos is this time that we accept upon ourselves the Torah to be Ovdei Hashem 24/7. We're not just Yom Kippur Jews, or Shabbos Jews, or Jews when I'm in the Beis Medrash, or when I'm in the shul, or when I'm doing a mitzvah, or when I'm giving tzedakah. No. But rather, it's in our hiluch. It's in our walk. It accompanies us into all aspects of our life. And it's based on this that we can understand why Zevulon corresponds to Sivan. The pasuk in Devarim Lamed Gimel Yuches tells us, Sameach Zevulon B'tzeischa. Zevulon is happy when he goes out. And the Pri Tzadik asks, why is there a simcha? Why is there a joy attached to Zevulon leaving? Right? He's leaving the Beis Medrash. He's going out of the bubble of Torah. What kind of joy is associated with that? He's leaving the Beis Medrash to go out and to do business. But rather, since Zevulon makes sure that all his actions are begeder HaTorah, he merits the extra simcha because he's able to connect the Torah to all he does. Even when he leaves the Beis Medrash, when he's sailing, when he's doing business, when he's involved in all of those things, he's able to make sure that those things are b'darchei HaTorah. It's in his hiluch. And therefore, he gets this extra level of simcha. And that's why the pasuk says, im b'chu kosai teilechu. The halicha must be al pi Torah. Not just when we're sitting and learning or davening or listening to a shir. And it's with this in mind that we can understand why the letter Zion is assigned to Sivan. According to the Zohar, Zion refers to the clay Zion, the weapons that we use in a time of battle. What's the battle? This is the everyday battle in which the natural tendency tries to get us involved in gashmias, in materialism. Forget about the spirituality and the kedusha. You already daven shacharis. You're going to go daven marav. You'll have your daf yomi later. Forget about all this stuff. That's there. We're here. Decompartmentalize. And that's the battle that we engage every day with our Yetzer Hara. That's our tendency. That's the Adama that's in a man that tries to pull him down into this world. But the Zion also refers to the O's, the strength of Torah, because Zion Yud Yud Nun in Gematria is 77, which is also O's. The Gemara in Zvachim tells us, Hashem O's Liyamo Yutain, Hashem gives his nation strength. What is the O's that Hashem gives Bnei Israel? The Torah. And that is our job specifically during Sivan and the rest of the year. We have to synthesize the two. We have to take the Torah and bring it into our everyday life. Every step we take, every action, no matter how physical it may seem, it has to be rooted in Torah. This is our oz. This is our strength and our weapon to battle the kochos hateva. We see this in Rus. Everything she did, right down to the mundane, was based on Torah. Her tznius, the fact that she was makbid on leket, shechacha, and peah, was all based on the Torah. Torah was in her hiluch. In fact, this is what she says to Naomi. She says, asher telchi eilech. Wherever you go, I will go. She understood that Torah was not something that just applies to the shul or the Beis Medrash or to Shabbos and the like. It's in every single step. Asher telchi eilech. In fact, it's from this pasuk that the Gemara in Yevamos learns out the halachos of geirus. Because a person who wishes to accept the Torah and mitzvos has to understand that it applies to every aspect of our life. Asher telchi eilech. Every single step that we take, it's not restricted or limited to just dvarim shebikdusha, the shul, the beis medrash, the shir, tzedakah, etc. In fact, during Sivan, on the 29th of Sivan, that was the date that the meraglim were sent out. And I think that this really was the mistake of the Meraglim. They didn't understand the message of Sivan. They didn't understand this. The Meraglim were gedolim. They were very important people within Bnei Yisrael. And yet, they didn't realize, they thought that Kedusha, that spirituality, could only be attained in the Midbar, in a bubble. They didn't realize that the point is what? To go into Eretz Yisrael, to cultivate and to work the land. Torah is not in a vacuum. We have to take it into our everyday lives. It has to come into our hiluch. And therefore, they made the mistake. They thought that Eretz Yisrael wasn't the place for them because they thought they couldn't attain Kedusha there. But that's not the case. The point is to take Torah and make sure it permeates our hiluch and every action and every step we take. And this is the completion of the transition process. We start with the spark, with the inspiration. We start with Nisan, with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Hashem gives us this divine revelation. And He shows us, B'nai Yisrael, look what you can do. Look what you can accomplish. Look how high you can go. But then it fades because it's not ours. It was a gift. And we have to go through Iyar. We have to go through the Sfira process and work on ourselves to establish that level of Kedusha, to make it real, to make it last, so that we can come to Sivan and we can accept the Torah upon ourselves. But it's not enough. The experience of Matan Torah does not end with Har Sinai. We have to take it into our hiluch, into our action, into every step we take, into the most physical and mundane things we do in this world. Everything has to be permeated with Torah. It has to affect all aspects of our life, even the most of mundane experiences. And this is not just the build-up to Matan Torah, but it applies to every rung we climb on the ladder, to every obstacle we try to overcome, to every point in our life that we get a burst of inspiration. We have to capitalize on it. We have to grab it. We have to concretize it. We have to make it into our action, an action, accept it upon ourselves, and then bring it into our lives. And this is the secret to our Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos, and our Kabbalah Satorah and our acceptance upon ourselves and our growth on a day-to-day basis.